MVI Radio. You can create an extraordinary organization based on the practices of the 90th percentile, with no paid advertisements, pitches, or sensationalism. These broadcasts are for people that seek the truth about life and how the world actually works within an organizational context. Okay, the use of compensation by the extraordinary manager. Okay, people behave the way they're paid, and we all get paid in all situations for everything we have ever done. People usually have to think about this one, because obviously we're not talking about just about financial compensation. Again, how does a volunteer get paid? Yeah, feeling, karma. So Mother Teresa got paid. And you, just like some people, think that you're actually sacrificing for your children. What an illusion. The truth is you're choosing one thing to do or to raise your children rather than another. I mean, does it feel better to actually try to raise them or to just let them run completely wild? Okay, why are we actually trying to raise our kids? Because we want to avoid what? Pain, jail, prison, you know, pain, suffering, you know, and because again, you can't control them. All you can do is control yourself. You can't control their outcome. That's up to God. Yeah, but you are responsible for your intention. Okay, so people behave the way we're paid, and we all get paid in all situations. And so we always keep that in mind, that all protoplasm behaves this way. Again, even the one-celled organism is going to gravitate towards life-sustaining glimmer of food or warmth or whatever, and it will go away from things that will take life or energy, even. Okay, most organizations have structured their costs that, you know, we have fluctuations of patient volume, but they've not structured their expenses to go up and down in relation. So thus, when census is up, we're making money. When census is down, we're losing money. And it takes zero talent to operate an organization like that. I refuse to run a place like that. We're going to make money with high revenue or low revenue. But that would mean that we have to restructure our expenses so that when census is up or down, we're still making money. So if this is our profit standard, we're making that whether it's up or down. And that's usually within a 10% up or down. So everybody can self-regulate. And the question is, can you do that? Well, absolutely we can do that. Because our labor costs are 60, 65% normally. Our patient-related costs are normally 18.5% or whatever. You combine these and plus others, you're up to 90-some percent that can completely be flexed. And all costs are variable in the relevant range. Again, fixed costs are kind of an illusion. Yeah, for 1 year, you know, salary, whatever. But the point is, even if we built buildings, can we sell those buildings? Absolutely, we can. And that's what we're called, again, in cost two, all accountants should realize that. In the short run, you can do variable and fixed and all that. So does it work? Again, using our intelligence, we would ask that question. Does it work? I would be. Well, again, at my first hospice, this is Hospice of Winston-Salem. I went in there again. And I was fortunate that I didn't know what I was doing. Again, because it is what we know that holds us back. And Deborah came in one day and said, Andrew, you used to work at a compensation company. You used at Arista and stuff. Yeah. Can you do one of these for us? I said, well, Deborah, I don't know. I have no idea how to do this place. I mean, I can tell you how to do a factory or country club or restaurant or, you know, textile mill, or, I mean, I don't know. I'll try. So at that point, I was into activity-based costing. And I'm not going to tell you to do that, but it's the best I knew. And the fact is, all of us, all we can do is what we know. And we're doing our best at all times. Otherwise, you wouldn't be in it. Again, if a CEO says, well, Andrew, I could do better. Well, if you're not doing it already, you should be fired for that lack of integrity. So, with this said, well, I said, okay, but maybe we could do activity-based compensation. So basically, I took, let's say a nurse was making $50,000 a year, and I said, well, how many visits will she do in a year? Probably about 1,000. How many meetings will she go to? Well, probably about 52, whatever. And I came up with a dollar amount, and this is back in 1994, and I automated every aspect of it, and which any of us could do, except for what? We didn't have EMRs, so we actually had data entry people. So now it could just be automatic. So when we're talking about super pay, I mean, there's just so little effort involved with doing a payroll like this. It isn't even funny. But anyway, so I use it on home health first, because I've run a few of those. You know, I mean, at least historically, that was my first home health. That was my first hospice situation. And kind of got it tested up. And you got to get people past what? The fear barrier. You know, so I always say, you know, if I detected any note of fear, I would work with them and say, well, you know, here's what will work out. And I'd show people the reports before we cut over. Here's what you're going to get in this system, and here's what you're going to get in this system. And I think, and the thing is, people trusted me. Why? Because I was the accountant that was going out on visits. I was the one that was going out and watching people die. I wanted to know what we were doing. Sometimes I felt like the accounting department felt like I abandoned them because I was out with clinicians all the time. But that's the truth. As I was interested, what do we do? So what happened? So we flipped the switch. Did we, everyone quit? That's usually the first fear. Well, no, we didn't lose hardly anybody. In fact, me and the person that became CFO and was a CFO for another, we just talked about the other day, and we didn't lose anybody. Now, we did drive a few out later on, because that's part of the deal, is to have less people, highly paid, people that don't have to be managed, people that are easy to manage, and you want them happy, you don't want them leaving or any of this. So high, you know, you can pay well and whatever. But what happened when we flipped the switch? Again, productivity went up 100%. 100% for all disciplines, except for one. We had four chaplains, that's what we called them at the time, and two of them said, well, I'm not going to do it for the money. And the other two said, I'll take your patients. Now, do you want the full or half prayer? I can do both. So we only had a 50% increase in productivity for our spiritual people. Okay. And then there's all kinds of unexpected things, but that's always what happens when you change it. Like we had hovers outside of admissions, you know, like the nurse going, "Do you have any more patients? I really could use one more. You know, here I've got some fresh pecan pie, my grandma's recipe. Do you have one more patient?" Hovers, we called them. We actually came up with a word. Okay, IDT. Shrank. Documentation to 100% overnight. I fried a couple people and it's like, oh my God, they are serious. That's it. Because before that, they were late. They were documented. You couldn't even read it. It was so much disrespect. Oh, well, it was perfect. Okay, overnight. Then I went to NHO. This was before it was NHPCO, because I was invited. And they booed me out. Heckled me, in fact. I mean, you know, I never saw other speakers being heckled out. And that's, again, I wear black and I do have issues by these kind people. Because, again, I was making it into a business. But frankly, we are a business. We're in a good business. We're in the managed care business. So, Okay, what do we know that is that hospices that use performance pay have higher productivity? They tend to be more spiritual, in fact. Why? Because it's fair. Fair systems. People want to work for a fair system. They work hard, they want to be paid. They want to be paid what they're worth, frankly. Why should we not pay people by sloppy-ass management and then say, suck it up, because we're all just so poor here, because the benefit's not big enough, and we're just going to crap it away, and then we're going to go out to the community and say, help us out. Ooh. You know, there was the integrity in that. Now, it's more than enough. It's just weenie management. Anyway, it's one of the quickest ways to change a culture. Again, a lot of people think that it takes years to change culture, and blow that idea up. Again, you can change it in a week if you really wanted to. You want to change it overnight, unless you change the comp system, and you'll find you'll change that. You'll drive out your sub-performers. That's frankly what you'll do. And your people that you want to keep that maybe you're fearful, just work with them. But here's the thing is they got to trust you. Got to trust you. Because I always say this, we're going to put this out. If we make any mistakes, folks, man, we're going to like fix it like tomorrow. I'll go run to the back. We'll cut a check out right out. We'll make it right. We'll fix it. Next pay cycle will be perfect. And they know it because that's what I'll do. But get this, 100% of the hospices that operate in the 90th percentile use creative compensation systems. 100%. That pretty much means that your likelihood of being a top-rung hospice is zero, statistically, unless you pay different. And you can't just pay hourly and salary. You ain't going to get there.
Can you say that there's the second to last point about unintended consequences?
You're always going to have that. Yes, yeah. All pay systems will have unintended consequences that are beyond your thoughts. And so we just anticipate, but they'll always be normally better. You're going to get a better result. I've never in my career seen it go awry if it's done with even semi-intelligence. But you'll have things, and like I said, I remember, but we'll change the comp systems just as much as we need to get a great result.
So do you add mileage in with this? I mean, are they getting paid their miles plus? Because I'm thinking...
Yeah, but in our situation, the mileage is not the hospice retirement account.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, and we're not doing the Fed rate or any of that ridiculous stuff.
No, but I think that's probably one of the things that we
overpay. Yeah, we adjust it every quarter based on, you know, like what a trucking company or whatever locals is paying, and there you go. Okay. If there's no pain attached to non-standard behavior performance, your system is weak, and this includes compensation. Again, compensation is one of your super tools, and again, we just basically have to learn as a manager not to fear it, but to embrace it and use it to get the performance behaviors that we need in our organization. It's one of the most powerful structures there is. Compensation in all its forms, financial as well as spiritual, and the feeling and all that, because again, our volunteers are getting paid. And if you want to have 48% of all your labor done by volunteers, you got to pay them well. And you're going to pay them with what? The life-changing experience, where people actually fly into your hospice because they heard about the volunteer training. Okay. If we manage well, we can pay well. You know, like I always say, I have to laugh at the for-profit, not-for-profit thing. You know, like, you know, that they, so the for-profit can pay, you know, no, I mean, they can pay the same because they're getting the same rate. No difference. Okay, so this is how we set up SuperPay, and I would brand it positive. You want to use this to attract talent, as well as retain talent. Okay, oh, I heard about this SuperPay. Can you tell me a little bit? Oh, yeah. Well, there's basically five different ways that you get paid. The first thing is position pay. This can normally either be hourly or salary. Okay, so it's a kind of a traditional method because you don't want to rock people's world too much, right? But we restructure. So we take what people are already getting paid and we just restructure it, where 90% becomes base and the other 10% of their pay is restructured as standard pay and it's set up as a variable. That is, it's a bonus. And if it's a bonus, we expect you to get every pay cycle. Again, the standards. There is no stretch here. There is no sweat here. There are no goals here. There is nothing, we're not asking anything unreasonable except for that you do your job. Is that so outrageous? No. So it's a bonus. We expect you to get every pay period, and that's set up as standards pay. So if you're getting $50,000 a year, $45,000 of it becomes your base, $5,000 becomes the standards pay. Again, the bonus that we expect you to get every pay cycle. Then in addition to that, but if you don't do standards, we can take that away. We can take it away for 2 weeks. We can take it away for a month. If a manager, if you go beyond the NPR amounts, am I going to penalize the entire team? No. You're feeling it. 10% of your salary is gone for a month if you go even one iota over the NPR percent. Because you're paid to what? Be a professional manager and manage within 10% increases or decreases of census. Perfectly. In fact, you've had to create a written plan for that that you submit to your CEO. Right? Written out where you are expected to execute. Okay. So we have that. But then on top of that, you have individual pay. So when we are setting some of the different standards regarding caseloads for nurses and social workers or visits for the CNAs, if you get the excellent, which is just a little bit better than minimum, you don't want the gap there because that gap, if it's large, it will become a demotivator, right? So we want a little thing. In fact, I'm going to set this thing up where I expect everybody to get the extra pay, every pay period too. So we're surprised if people can't even do the excellent. So that's built in.
For additional information, visit MultiviewInc.com.